that then coming back in 89 was a final recommendation on a gaming commission or, you know, a permanent home for this type of activity would be a more appropriate route to pursue at this point, rather than leaving here not having anything in place.
Well, that really is a legislative decision, and I can understand why you would want to do it.
I'm asking.
Well, that, I think keeping the faith, and the fact is that every service club in this state holds a raffle every week. As we well know, they have a ticket drawing. It's technically illegal. It would swamp DA's offices. It doesn't hurt anybody at the level that they do it as a practical matter, but it's in defiance of the law, and that's unseemly, particularly since the people have just said, go authorize and put safeguards around. The money is the key, though, Senator Hannon. I don't want to do a slipshod job, and I'm accountable if I do a slipshod job. And therefore, to say that we can do it
Let me just respond. In the discussion that I had in the front of the House chamber, I was told by Mr. Mountain that the decision that was arrived at in the executive branch of government was that the Lottery Commission would be the most cost-effective unit of government to do the regulation. My response is that I was interested in effective regulation. The cost is not as important as the effectiveness of the regulation. And therefore, we would endeavor to provide the resources.
Endeavor is a
we would
wonderful
provide word. The resources.
let me then key on the other word that you used, Mr. Chairman, and that is effective. I have not had, nor has my staff really had a chance to look at the teeth of the regulatory provisions, and that's the other proviso. You can have all the money in the world, but if you've got to license every crook who ponies up with an IRS exemption, then the egg is on our face, and it's a slur on the integrity of the Department of Justice. And what at the very least we need, in addition to the assurance that you have just given us with respect to financing, is 12 hours at least to look over the enforcement provisions so that we don't end up being a toothless tiger and embarrassing the entire
process. That's quite correct. Under the order of business of egg on the face, no branch of government wants that egg on their face, which we think we might have gotten had we not had the cooperation of the Department of Justice.
Let me ask, if I may, Mr. Chair, my staff to raise other issues or concerns that occur to them, bearing in mind that this is a completely spontaneous conversation, and I've neither censored nor do I know what they're going to say.
Mr. Mountain.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jim Mountain, Special Counsel to the Attorney General. As we went through this in the half hour before we showed up this morning or this afternoon, called a couple of issues to mind. The first that struck us was that this was the first we had seen where there was a crossover to the off-track betting measure. That plays into an issue that the Attorney General alluded to, which was the second one that Mr. Wood and I noted in the hall, and that's that there were no startup costs in this bill. And to date, the only estimates that we're aware of are estimates that were done by the Lottery Commission that related solely to the bingo and raffles issue and had nothing to do with the
off-track betting bill never visited Ways and Means. So no one to date has proposed a fiscal impact, though we certainly would consider addressing that.
So those were the two fiscal things that I saw right off the bat. I don't know if Mr. Wood had any more comments from his review.
Mr. Chairman, may I raise one more? And Mr. Dewey is too polite a man to raise it, so I will in his stead. It is known, at least to some persons, that my office opposed the expansion of the off-track betting measure. And I would not want it to be thought that because of that we would in some way sabotage the effort that this Assembly has apparently now agreed to pass.
This Assembly has agreed to pass it. The issue of the governor's signature is something else again, which Mr. Dewey will think about.
Well, my point is really twofold. One is that that the department's opposition to that is well known, and, yes, and it may be that some of your colleagues will, who were critical of our appearance even at the hearing at all, will see this as somehow a devious attempt by this department to capture a measure that they could not defeat. No, that would not be the case, but I think it's fair to give that warning.
It's fair to say this would be shoved down your throat in that respect.
I think that's happening.
And I, in Mr. Dewey, my remark, I think that this change will help with the governor's signature issue. Mr. Dewey may comment, of course. A little closer so it's on the record. You never liked the Lottery Commission being involved anyway, did you?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mike Dewey representing the Multnomah Kennel Club. The Racing Commission serves a fine and very useful purpose, and they have done, in our opinion, an excellent job, although we have from time to time disagreed with them. And we thought it appropriate that the Racing Commission be the regulatory agency in the authorization of off-track wagering sites in licenses. Now, it's no secret that the governor didn't necessarily like that, recognizing his long-term strategy, if you will, was the promotion and finally implementation, I suggest, of a gaming commission.
Correct. Though he was stronger about not wanting the Racing Commission to do it all by itself.
But recognizing the political realities of getting a bill through and signed, which is that's all it's about, we're not interested in moral victories in this process. We want to establish off-track wagering. The governor has indicated that he will sign Senate Bill 262.
Yes.
And so with that, the recommendation to the Attorney General in terms of their participation, we have not had the conversation with the governor or the governor's office about whether or not he would sign this particular bill. But we do understand that he would sign Senate Bill 262.
Well, that was previous. His press spokesman had informed generally the press of that on the morning of the day that Mr. Burke and I met with him.
And it really doesn't make any difference to us where it's going to be so long as, one, we are treated fairly in this process. And I think the Attorney General is correct in terms of the perception of his activity or their activity in the licensure when they, at one point in time, and I suspect still do not look upon off-track wagering as something favorable.
But you could be very helpful in convincing the proponents of the bill that, no, the Attorney General was not trying to mess it up.
Oh, no.
That the legislature had to consider what the appropriate state agency was, and if it decides that it shall be the Department of Justice in this interim, that in order to be consistent, that's the only reason for the change.
But recognize where the Lottery Commission comes into play in this. The Racing Commission, what we're really talking about, one is the licensure of a pari-mutuel wagering facility, Multnomah Kennel Club or Portland Meadows or whatever, and the oversight and the regulation that the Racing Commission has. What was called into question was the security of taking a look at, one, the licenses of the individuals and the contracts for off-track wagering. Now, for a practical purpose, in terms of what that language says, Mike Dewey cannot operate an off-track wagering facility. Only Multnomah Kennel Club or Portland Meadows, perhaps the Oregon State Fair, but I suspect is unlikely. So in terms of that, we're not talking about exhaustive examination of individuals coming into the state that may have backgrounds that are not too favorable. The Lottery Commission then plays the role in terms of oversight, just to make sure that everything functions correctly at an off-track wagering facility. So I think they are capable of doing that. They do not necessarily have to have racing knowledge, because that's where the Racing Commission comes into play. I guess the concern I have is that we have a bill that's passed, and the governor says he's going to sign a bill, and we're getting late into the session, and I get very concerned that we screw things up and we find out we've got a bill that the governor will not sign and we don't have off-track wagering. And
as I understand it, Mike, this Senate Bill 404 would amend 262 as passed and enrolled, so your bill's on its way, whether this passes or not.
Absolutely.
Well,
correct.
Okay, and I have not seen.
Right.
I have not seen this.
It holds your bill basically harmless from the issue of the appropriateness of the Lottery Commission.
Well, that will make. I need to look at that very closely.
Senator Hannon.
I was going to say, maybe, Mr. Chairman, to be fair to all the parties, is just take the time and let them see what the relationship is, because I don't think, Mike, that it's our intention or anyone's to try to play leverage with one bill against
that
another.
That is correct. Yeah,
the intent is to hopefully have something in place prior to signing die, as I understand.
Yeah, and to have it consistent.
Yeah, and realizing that we're working in a short time frame and we may have to take some more permanent action in 89.
Let me look at further. Just on so that people understand part of the motivation, and the subcommittee that meets in the morning dealt with the Lottery Commission. We found time after time the commission to perceive their role as being to raise more money for economic development. That was the entire thrust of their testimony. We would sit and read the Constitution to them, which says that the legislature or the commission may adopt laws or rules in order to improve the fairness, integrity of the system, and never said raise money, but then that never got heard by the lottery director. They are operating a lottery for the purpose of economic development. That is what they're about doing. They're not about the business of regulating for fairness and honesty. That's Mr. Jones.
That's secondary to their role. That's correct. And I think that part of the problem here with the lottery is one of perception. That it is a clean operation, and in the eyes of the public, that it is a clean operation, but it's a clean operation for a totally different purpose, and that's for the encouragement and marketing of a game. The concept of putting it in there for a cost-effective reason is almost like the analogy that you've been confronted with the Department of Commerce, that if you put it all under one umbrella, you'll save money. That's one proponent. Another proponent says if you break it all apart, you'll save money. And the same thing will be true with the Lottery Commission as well. Because they are exempt under the state law, they will have to operate that function totally independent of and separate from, legally and financially and personally, from the lottery operation. Otherwise, you cannot have a separation of exempt from non-exempt functions. So there is no cost-effective feature to the Lottery Commission's operation of the off-track betting order.
And that was, I don't believe,
Mr. Dewey.
Chairperson McCracken, Mr. Jones, the intent of the governor in terms of efficiency, I think it was always in the area of a belief on his part that the, in terms of they have the security capabilities that the Racing Commission may not have. I think that was the belief that the governor had as opposed to dollar costs.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort this out, and I'm wondering why that you can't do what you're trying to do in 404 and leave 262 alone, and whatever else is out floating around, and put what you want to put in here, as you can, if you want to get Fulmeyer to have it and fund it so he can do it
exactly.
Until 1989, and right. Then not mess around with 262, which is off-track.
That's an option, and that's something that...
And which it's already under the Racing Commission, which handles all of the...
So it isn't, as amended by the House. It is not. That's the problem. Now, that's something...
How did we do it?
Well, the House committee amended it and added the Lottery Commission to it when it was a Racing Commission bill. That is what happened. That's why the language is in here. It is my personal view that that's going to make it a more signable bill, this catching it in these amendments. And that's just my personal opinion, and you probably want to verify that, Mr. Dewey, undoubtedly.
That changes things.
Yes.
You know. But we have so many bills that we, I guess, if I voted on that, and was up there and I voted I did, then I didn't know what I was doing because I wouldn't have voted to put it under the lottery, I'll guarantee you that. Because I think it ought to be under the Rescue Commission.
That's what
like
you did.
Like the paramutuals are right now. And I don't know what Mike Dewey likes, whether he likes another lottery or not. I'm just telling you what I like.
He would have preferred it the way it was introduced.
There's no question that we preferred it under the Racing Commission, but we weren't counting our votes to override a veto. We were counting our votes to pass a bill.
Right.
And I do know, Mr. Chair, that the bill was, when the governor discussed this with Mr. Burns, I was in the room, and there was a clear implication that there ought to be another regulatory body.
I understand that. Mr. Jones?
Mr. Chairman, I have not read Senate Bill 262 recently, but I believe that there, the Racing Commission will play an integral part in the operation of this.
There is no question that they do. Let me reiterate again that the Lottery Commission will have the investigative powers that relates to off-track wagering in terms of licenses, contracts, in conjunction with developing rules with the Racing Commission, and will have oversight at the off-track wagering facilities in terms of security. That's
the role
this way.
Yeah, oh, I sure am. Now, okay, let's...
beautiful marriage.
Okay, let me just finish up here, and it won't take long. What's missing from here is appropriation for startup. What's missing from here is a sunset and a charge to the Attorney General to make a recommendation regarding an establishment of a commission to regulate these functions in the future.
Now, Mr. Chairman, this does... give it to the Justice Department, this particular amendment.
It gives the portion, it implements Measure 3,
right.
And gives it to the Department of Justice temporarily. Provides for the money to do it with. Provides regulatory authority, which needs to be reviewed to make sure that it's tough enough and gives them enough tools. It does also then make consistent those provisions in 262 that refer to the Lottery Commission and changes that consistently to the Department of Justice, still leaves the Racing Commission untouched and unharmed. So that's sort of where we are.
Well, I don't know what your time is, Mr. Chairman, other than probably
tomorrow,
as soon as possible, but
yeah.
We will review fiscal impact, we will review the regulatory authority. That's probably as much as we can do in the time that we have available, and we'll come back to you with that.
Yeah, we'll meet again tomorrow about 1.
Mr. Chairman, along with an anticipation of what the adjustment in your budget would be to allow so that we can authorize that and
we'd appropriate.
Well, we just supplemental appropriate.
Yeah.
This has a $1 limitation and an expectation that there would be earlier emergency board meeting.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever. We might want to give them a little.
I suppose to be candid, Mr. Chair, we'd rather know going in what resources we have to work with than give you the blank assurance we could even make it work at all.
I would ask the co-chairs for that money.
Yeah.
Because I would want some comfort. And I very much appreciate your discussion and the candor and the cooperation that seems to be indicated.
Thank
so,
you,
close the public hearing on Senate Bill 404 and adjourn the subcommittee.
All right. What a fuck.
Will come to order. And Jack, we're going to do a work session on Senate Bill 266 after the chair's motion to reconsider the vote by which we sent it out. Is there objections to that? I hear none.
Senate Bill 266, there was an amendment that was proposed related to reciprocity. there has been an additional amendment proposed which strengthens up the reciprocity laws. In other words, if an individual has passed a licensed is licensed in another state as a psychologist and has passed the national exam with a passing score of another state and passed an oral exam, if that state uses an oral exam, that would in effect be valid criteria for licensing in Oregon. This has been proposed in the Dash 10 amendments that you have before you. LFO would recommend that you adopt the amendments labeled 260-10 as corrected. There have been some slight typographical errors which council will correct by the time we go to full ways and means this evening, this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hammond.
Mr. Chairman, members, I apologize to the committee. This is the amendment I proposed yesterday. It was left out and omitted some sections that needed to be included, so I would ask that we amend it as corrected.
Senator Hannon moves that Senate Bill 266 be further amended by the Dash 10 amendments dated 6-1987. Objections to that motion? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Hannon moves Senate Bill 266 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Now, do we need to do the same in 260?
Yes.
Chair moves the subcommittee reconsider the vote by which it sent 260 to the full committee. Objections? Hearing none. Is this just the same story then, Jack?
There is, with an additional chapter, if you may. We need to have the representative of the Executive Department, Budget Division, and Karen McClendon is here today.
Karen.
There are some fees that would have to be approved by the appropriate legislative review agency and the Executive Department relating to examinations. As 260, I've given you the Dash 8 amendments that describe those examinations. Those fees would be established at $65 for the National Board of Certified Counselors exam, or for the Professional Counselors exam, excuse me, and $40 for the National Board of Certified Counselors exam. I believe the Executive Department is in concurrence.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
It's on the record the Executive Department said that they concurred. Did you hear it?
In addition to that, I would like to recommend that we move again to adopt the Dash 6 amendments, which were inadvertently not included in the Dash 8 amendments, and then again adopt the Dash 8 amendments with the correction that on page 2 of the Dash 8 amendments, lines 2 and 3, the words "in the Oregon Board of Professional Counselors Fund" and in line 3 "in the general fund created by section 16 of this act" be deleted and inserted in their place. The words "under section 16 of this act" be inserted. This is to correct the Health Division had proposed a friendly amendment yesterday. We adopted that amendment. It changed the language, making the word "Professional Counselors Fund" obsolete. This is just a technical correction.
Senator Hannon moves what Jack said. Objections? Hearing none. Adopted. Senator Hannon moves amended Senate Bill 260 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. I want to make sure that 260 goes ahead or along with 266.
Would you like me to hold 266 off the full agenda for today?
No. We can get it past full, and I'll just talk with co-chairs about bouncing it to the floor. I would desire then Mr. Weeks, and I'd like Co-Chair Gilmore, if you could find him. Mr. Weeks. While we're waiting for Co-Chair Gilmore, I'd like to ask if you think there's any agreement on House Bill 2222.
Mr. Chairman, I think there may be some agreement here. Now, you adopted some amendments that were supported by several folks, and then...
Co-Chair Gilmore is here. I'll interrupt you and we'll get back to that topic. Okay. This is just under general subcommittee discussion. There apparently was some controversy within the House Democratic Caucus about amendments that this subcommittee adopted in House Bill 2235. and there were a number of amendments, some of which were requested by the chair of the Revenue Committee, even though they related to insurance, and others that were generated by other people. We will move that bill back to this subcommittee, and we will send it out in the form that it passed the House Substantive Committee. That means certain amendments, such as those from Mr. Burns, will be gone. Now, there is one Ways and Means amendment that was very important to the subcommittee relating to the fact that we felt counties, when they employ people, ought to pay, as any other employer does, their workers' compensation costs. So we would like, that was also amended to 2235, and since there's this controversy about it, then we'd strip that up, but it's so important to Ways and Means, and it really is a Ways and Means issue, that we would like to put it on to Senate Bill 1034. So, if is that all right with you?
I think we ought to continue operating under the will of the subcommittees.
Very good.
What is the issue there?
Did I say anything at all that I shouldn't have said?
No. My recommendation is the subcommittee should act as a subcommittee.
Thank you very much. Okay.
What is that issue?
Well, now we're going to reconsider the vote by which we sent Senate Bill 1034 to the full committee. Objections? Hearing none. Chair moves that we place the language that we inserted on 2235 relating to counties paying the workers' compensation for their employees, that same exact language into an appropriate place within Senate Bill 1034. Objections?
What is the import of that?
$300,000. It saves the state.
I get it.
President Jones.
Mr. Weeks, please say something.
I guess.
I'm not through. Could I ask Mr. Weeks?
Mr. Weeks.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wires, the language is language that would require counties to pay the workers' compensation insurance costs for all of their employees, all employees that are subject to wages. At the present time, you pick up the costs for elected county officials, DAs, and employees. This would save $350,000.
We've discussed this frequently and tried to find a bill, and it just got to be too late.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hammond.
There is one other question I do have. When we deleted the language from the House bill, there's one section that was deleted that I think the insurance commissioner had requested. Would it be possible to add that provision into 1034? That was the one dealing with annuities.
Oh.
Sort of protect those people.
Well, a very good idea.
I believe there was a legal question that the insurance commissioner asked, and we should deal with that if we possibly can.
Representative Jones.
I guess my question was that maybe too political to ask.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is still here.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of what bill it's in.
That's exactly right, sir. There's only a difference between House rules and Senate rules, and then there's personalities, and from then on. It's more personalities than politics.
No, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, so there's no objection to the chair's motion, and it's adopted, and Senator Hannon moves that we insert the language that Mr. Krulongowski had requested relating to insurance.
Yes, dealing with annuities, and it was a liability question that the insurance commissioner had a concern about. And I would just ask that staff work with legislative council to make sure that we move that section over to Senate Bill
1034. Very good. Objection, Senator Hannon's motion. Hearing none, it's adopted. And then the chair moves Senate Bill 1034 to the full committee with the due pass. Yeah, due pass recommendation, is that right, Mr. Weeks?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, on House Bill 2235, that's coming back.
We have not taken any action on it.
We're
okay. Telegraphing what we'll do to 2235 to remove all controversy from it.
You would intend to leave the amendment to the Fire Marshal's premium tax section that gives the legislature the authority to review whether there's any transfers from the general fund.
I view that as a fiscal decision entirely and within the purview of Ways and Means. Okay, no objections to the motion to send 1034 out. It goes. Then, how do I get all these people out of this room? Is boxing in any kind of shape yet for us to work on?
We can. These are not largely boxing, folks.
Well, there's a senator here. I just wondered. I know 404 we want to work on, and then we have 2067.
2222 we could deal with.
Oh, that's right. We started to do that. Chair moves the subcommittee reconsider the vote by which it sent 2222 to the full committee. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Gary.
Mr. Chairman, you adopted some amendments at your last meeting on 2222. There was some misunderstanding on the part of some of the individuals involved in the preparation of those amendments. Thought that they did some things that they didn't do. As a result, you have another set of amendments. Representative Shiprock is here to address those.
Bob.
What you have in front of you is a very simple amendment, which simply says that the provisions in Chapter 701, general contractors, I should say, are exempted from the provisions in Chapter 701. That's all the amendments do. The other amendments that you had defined residential construction, adjusted the bond requirements for contractors, changed the board